Exodus chapter 34, verse 10 says, "And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people, I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself." Listen really careful. "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice." You can go ahead and be seated. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. So I did not know this, but I found this out this week as I was studying this lesson and this sermon, that the fact that God being a jealous God was the deciding factor that made Oprah walk away from traditional Christianity. I did not know that. I listened to her this week as she was talking. I looked this up to see, and she said she was sitting in a service, and the preacher, she said, a very well-spoken minister, was doing a great job, and he was preaching about God being omnipotent, omnipresent. And she said she was caught up in the rapture of all of that. And then he said he is a jealous God. She said that didn't set well with her spirit. And so she walked away from traditional Christianity over God being jealous. Have you ever had someone in your life who was jealous? And we equate that word to people who are insecure. People that make up things that may or may not be going on in a relationship. We quote this: jealousy is as cruel as the grave. You ever heard that? When you see a jealous person, or you have someone who or been in a relationship with somebody, it's like they can make up stuff. And it's usually a person who is extremely insecure. And so that can't be the meaning that we're dealing with when we're dealing with God. Let me tell you something about God. God is not insecure. God is very confident. There's an old country song that says, "She don't know she's beautiful. She don't know she's beautiful, though time and time I've told her so." Has anybody ever heard that song? Well, I changed the words, and I sing, "She don't know I'm beautiful." And I sing this to Tracy all the time: "Though time and time I've told her so." Keep track of that, because it's going to mean something in a minute. Notice what he says in this, Johnny. He begins to talk to the people, and he says, "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land." He starts out by saying that I'm making a covenant with you. So God is in covenant with his people. And this gives him a right to be jealous because God is in covenant. I find this interesting. It's a little side note, but I want to throw it out there. He never says, lest thou make a covenant with their gods. He says, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. They are in covenant with God. The reason he says that is because they can be in covenant with a living God. But they have to be in covenant with the inhabitants of the land because their gods are idols and they're not real. You cannot be in covenant with a God that is not real. Psalm says it like this. Psalms 115, 7 and 8. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Speaking of idols. Psalms 135, 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. He's letting them know that the gods that these people worship, though they have form, they have no life. So he's saying you can't enter into covenant with a God like that because to be in covenant, each person has to bring something to the table. An idol can't give you anything or bless you in any way. An idol may have eyes, but it never sees you. They have hands, but cannot touch you. He wanted to let them know you are in covenant with the living God. We serve a God who sees exactly where you are, can touch the feelings of your infirmities, and is able to handle your situation because the God that we serve is a living God. Notice the idol. He said, they that make them, they are like them. If we could make a God today, odds are the God would look a lot like us. Because realize this or not, we really care about our opinion. Raise your hand if you are opinionated. Look around. Raise your hand if you are opinionated and you don't have much of a filter. Appreciate your honesty. Most of the time when people are opinionated, they don't come with a filter. It's like, I'll leave it alone. I got so much I can say right there. That our opinion, if we were to, Hinduism worships 3,000 plus gods. That's a lot of worship. They have over 3,000 gods that you can worship. And this is amazing. If you don't like one of those gods, can you imagine going through 3,000 and saying, nope, hey, loathe that one, nope. I mean, you go through all of that list, and out of all the lists, you can't find one. Here's what's really cool. They give you the option to make up your own. Now, if you didn't like any of the 3,000 and you got the option to make up, let me tell you why you didn't like one of the 3,000. Because it didn't suit your fancy. Some people leave churches because they say, I did not feel comfortable there. Somebody told Shane that one day and he said, well, yeah, I don't want to go to a church where I feel comfortable. I want to go to a church where I feel challenged. I want to go to a church that makes me a little uncomfortable. Because the problem is, you know what we love? We love comfort. So if you go through all of these and you can't find one that you like, you know what? You're going to make one. And let me tell you, you may not do this on purpose. You might not even look at your own image. But when it's done, it's going to be a lot like you because you want a God that agrees with you, that walks the way you walk, that'll let you do what you want to do. But the God that we serve has an agenda, he has a purpose, and he's not a middle-class American Jesus. He's a God that has a divine will and a purpose, and I hate to serve it to you like this, but he's not come to look like you. He wants you to look like like him and walk in his image. It's his image. He says, I am a jealous God. Let me read you these definitions. In English, jealous describes feeling resentful, bitter, or suspicious due to real or perceived threats in a relationship. You ever been jealous and you was right? Now leave it alone. You don't have to tell me. A feeling of being envious of someone else's success or possessions. You're just jealous. You're just jealous. It's a feeling of envy. Do you think when we're talking about God, that we're talking about a God who is envious of an idol? So something else is going on here. If God is jealous, either we have a definition issue or we don't really understand how God could be jealous. I've used this illustration before. If Tracy came home and said, hey, I'm leaving. I found somebody better. As hard as that would be for me to believe, she could say, he has nice flowing locks. He's in a little better shape. His beard is not quite as seasoned. She could give me all of these reasons. And if I sat down and I look at it, I could come to this conclusion. She could find somebody better. But if somebody went and told God, God, I'm leaving. I found something better. He's better to me than you are. There is no way on this planet you are ever going to find anybody that is better to you than God is to you. We used to say it like this. Can't nobody do you like Jesus can. Can't nobody touch you like Jesus can. Can't nobody heal you like Jesus can. Can't nobody bless you like Jesus can. You don't get any better than this God that I serve, who is able to do anything that he can do for you. So there must be something in the definition. You think God's sitting over there worried? Oh, I sure hope Jason don't leave me for Beelzebub. I sure hope he don't leave me for the dragon. I sure hope he don't leave me for the bottle. I sure hope Sam don't leave me. I sure hope. You think God is sitting there fretting about that? Then why can he say, my name is jealous? Because when we look this up in the Hebrew, it kind of changes. It broadens the meaning a little. It does something the English can't do. The English is telling us that he's envious. The Hebrew is telling us that he's zealous. So watch the difference. Let me see. Come here, Dustin. Where's Tracy? I got you because I made that locks comment. I need you up here beside me. When you enter into covenant with God, you enter into the greatest covenant you ever enter into. I thought you'd react like, when you enter into covenant with God, when you're in covenant with him, this is as good as it gets. Let me say it like, if you're saved right now, you will never be more saved than you are right now. Because you are in covenant with God. And because you're in covenant with a living God, let me insert this into your thinking today, God knows how to care for what belongs to him. Because, listen, God, it's not that God is beautiful and he don't know he's beautiful. There's a song, by the way. God is beautiful and he knows he's beautiful. A guy looked at me one time on a minor and he looked at me and he said, you know what, man, you talk about God, you witness to me about God. He said, I think that the God that you serve is arrogant. I said, me too. Yeah, man, he's arrogant. You know why? He has every right to be. God knows who he is, and he's settled in that fact. Listen, it doesn't get any better than him, and he knows it. This is the ticket. The ticket is God's beautiful, and he knows it. He's deliverance, and he knows it. He's healing, and he knows it. He's power, and he knows it. He's blood, and he knows it. He's got it all, and he knows it. So he is zealous about this relationship. Because God is God, and he knows he's God, he is jealous. One verse says, for his name's sake. He is jealous about who he is. So, what am I saying? I'm saying this. If God knows that he is the very best, and you're in covenant with him, and he knows he's the very best, he is very zealous, knowing that though you may try to stray, he warned them, don't enter into covenant with the inhabitants. Don't get over there eating their sacrifices. Don't get over there doing that. Why? You think God was trying to suck all the fun out of your life? No, God knows what's best for you because he created you, and the creator that created you is the best thing for you to be in covenant with him. And watch what happens. You are in covenant with joy. Smile. Smile that way. Smile that way. You are in covenant with joy. But then he comes along you, I took a long look over there. He's in, you're in covenant with God. You're in covenant with joy. God knows he's joy. There is no greater joy than the joy of God. But then this comes along. Who in their right mind would be in covenant with that? But you know what we do? God gets zealous. God gets jealous. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had your kids at the grandparents' house? How many people took your kids to their grandparents' house, their grandparents? And your parent morphed into something you had never seen before. I believe it was Bill Cosby said he took his kids to his mom's house, and she wasn't nothing like what he described to them. And he said, that's not the woman I grew up with. That's an old lady that's trying to get into heaven now. Grandparents try not to. I guess they try not to. They try not to say anything, especially when it comes to discipline. You ever tried to discipline your child while Papa was around? What do they say? They say things like, oh, leave him. Come on, have you heard it? Leave him alone. It's all right. Same thing they would have beat you down for. Don't you scratch that coffee table. Oh, it's okay. Little grandkid up there tap dancing on the coffee table. It's all right. I'll just put some more polyurethane on. It's okay. Until there comes a dangerous situation. Until it comes to something that could really, really hurt them. You know what grandparents do? They change. They step back. They're quiet. Or they get very loud. Hey. Well, it's like, what happened to you, Papa? What are you yelling at Buki for? I'm going to tell you why they're yelling at poor little Pookie. Because Pookie's about to get in trouble. And they love him. Oh, see, it's different when it's, oh, can they have a piece of candy? It's a little bit different, Brother Eddie, when they're falling off the back porch, ain't it? Remember that? Yeah. Taylor sang really good today. She almost didn't. So here's what happens. When he starts making his way that way, God, because he loves you, is very zealous. and very jealous. There comes a point where you feel justified being mad at your kid because you're saving them. Are you following me? You don't even care what Papa thinks. Hey, get up here right now. Get up here. Because it could have been a very dangerous spot for them. So see, even the anger of the Lord at you is justified. Even God's jealousy is justified because you're trying to go over there to get into a covenant with depression, and God is over here saying, you're already in a covenant with joy. Do you know who I am? I want what's best for you. And just so happens what's best for you is me. Do you hear me? That's why God can be zealous. He can be jealous. God loves you so much that he wants to stay in relationship with you. But the enemy wants you in covenant with something else. Come on, who's next? Who's next? Watch this. Anxiety. Come on up here. You got peace, man. You're in covenant with peace. Not as the world giveth, but you got God's peace. Because you have peace with God, you have the peace of God. I don't know about y'all, but when I lay down at night, I go to sleep. It impresses my wife. It frustrates her as well. The next morning, she has said to me, you went to sleep mid-sentence. What is it about you women? Can I meddle for a minute? Like, you're laying there, and on the sleep scale, you're like 1 to 10, you're like 9. Hey, I need to tell you something. Why can't you do it at 3? It's like 9. You got peace, man. But anxiety comes in, and it disguises itself as concern. And the next thing you know where you're at? You're over here in covenant with anxiety. Let me tell you what God is. He is jealous. The reason he is jealous is you're over there getting into covenant with things that will mess you up. And it's not all, it doesn't show up and say, hello, I'm anxiety. Think we'll go at it today. Think I'll win. That's not how it works. The way it works is when you start getting out of relationship with him, that stuff starts creeping in. And before you know it, you're in a place where you just say, I don't know what's going on with me. I'm going to tell you what's going on with you. You're not in the right place. You're not in the right proximity of the God of peace if anxiety is moving and taking over. So my goal today is to make sure that you move away from that covenant because, you getting tired yet? Because God wants to be in covenant with you. Give me another one here. They just keep coming. They just keep coming. How many people ever fight with this? Oh, they're connected, ain't they? Ain't all of them kind of connected? Somebody made the connection. Because here's the problem with sin. Sin always disconnects you from fellowship with him. So God gets angry because God loves you. If every weekend that I was off, if every weekend, every single weekend that I was off, Tracy looked at me and said, I don't care what you do. I'm going to be a little worried. I don't care what you do. You do whatever you want to do. The next weekend, I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. If there's not some time when she says, hey, I want to spend time with you, I'm going to begin to wonder. Anybody with me? I'm going to start tracking her. While I'm doing whatever I want to do, while I'm hitting golf balls, I'm like, where's she at? I'll be wondering, what's wrong? Why does she not want? You see, now, there is an unhealthy jealousy, but there is what Paul called a godly jealousy. He said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. It's a jealousy that goes into this. I want to spend time with you. And as long as you are racked in doubt and you are putting yourself, who's my last one? Oh, come on back over here. Come on back over here. You're too quick to go that direction. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace with his stripes, we are healed. We are made whole, completely whole, physically whole. Listen, let me tell you this. Disease is an enemy of God. Can I say that again? Disease is an enemy of God. Let me prove it to you. You say, oh, no, yeah, you got a cold or you get this, you get that. That's not really that bad. Disease is an enemy of God. God wants you to be whole. Am I right there? Completely whole. The only way to be completely whole is to stay in covenant, to stay in fellowship, to stay in relationship. Because watch what we do. I know people that like to be sick. I know people that are always sick. If you don't know, I always say this, but if you don't know somebody like that, it might be you. I know a lady one time that spent more time at the hospital than she did at home. I told Tracy one day, I said, she's going to outlive us all because she stays in the most sterile environment that you can work in, be in. God created this relationship to make you whole. Why would I walk outside of this to go up, but yet we do, to go over and join myself to disease? Why would I allow anxiety? Why would I? Hey, the list goes on and on and on. The problem is sin is connected. Let this guy creep in. Watch, you ready? Let doubt creep in too long. And before you know it, you're going to start getting a little anxious. And if you're not careful with your anxiety, you know what's going to happen? You're going to slip into depression. Suppression, oppression, depression. Keep going. It goes to possession. And before you know it, this guy right here can cause this guy right here. All because this guy right here won't stay with this guy right here. I know this ain't going to make sense on the podcast, but y'all know what I'm talking about. They're like, who's this guy here and this guy here and this guy? Here's the issue. He is always away from them. So if I stay in proximity to God, I will stay out of proximity with them. Yeah. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death. Why? Thou art with me. This is awesome. So since he's already overcame all of this, as long as you're with me, are you listening? He just moves them out of the way. But watch what. Look at him. Here's what happens. You're going by, and you know what he does? He lets go and starts looking at him. Let me tell you what God does. He gets zealous. He gets zealous. Man, if we can get this thought in our head, we won't take everything the enemy has to give us. If we can get this in our head, that God really does want us to prosper as our souls prosper, that God really does want to bless us, that you're not like an outsider that God's wanting to discipline and correct all the time, but God's a God of love, and the whole reason that he is jealous is because he knows what's better for you, and he knows you shouldn't be over here messing around with this, because your life is but a vapor, and if you spend, and I'm telling you right now, a few moments in anxiety and a few moments in doubt are a few moments too long, because God ordained you to have faith, to have peace, to have love, to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. 1 week is too long. And if you need deliverance, I'm glad you're here this morning, because there's a God that wants to touch you, and he's jealous. He's jealous because he knows who he is. Somebody in this room needs delivered. That deliverance is here right now. Come on, Aaron, where you at? Come on, I think I'm done. Come on. Go sit down. You go sit down. You go sit down and you go sit down. Not you. He designed you for a reason. And the only way you will know that reason is to be in proximity to him. You know what? It's been, anybody ever had a fight with doubt? Situation going on? A lot going on in your life and you start doubting and you struggle with it? The next thing you know, you're like, well, I'm doubting so much, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. I want to inform you that your salvation is not based on your doubt meter. I don't think you have a doubt meter. If you do, you might want to get rid of it. There are struggles that are going to come your way. There's trials that are going to come your way. You know why I wanted them people that have kids to worship today? Because your worship, God is jealous over your worship. God is zealous over your worship. You know why God's zealous over your worship? Because when you're in his presence, things begin to change. Not, oh, God is glorified, that's right. But you are blessed being in the presence of God. There's a lot of things that try to stop you from worshiping. Some people think that it bothers them that somebody might see them. All right, listen, I want you to be totally honest with me. Have you ever been worshiping and thinking that everybody is watching you worship? Raise your hand. All right, look around. Look around this building. Well, guess what? All of us can't be looking at all those people that have their hands up. You're like, oh, they're watching me. They're watching me. They're watching me. You know what? You know what this guy right here told me one time? You remember this? You said, hey, it used to bother me that you didn't lift your hands up higher than that. Remember that? So he was watching me. He sits behind me. He said, but now I understand. I guess his shoulders hurt now. He's getting a lot.
That's about it right there.
Oh, is that what it is? My suits are too tight. Now yours are tight. This is great. Now you understand. You're watching me worship. Hey, listen. Hey, who cares who's watching you? Because I promise you this. He is watching you. He's zealous over your worship. He's zealous over your praise. He's zealous over it because he knows if you get in worship, your whole thing will change. And when I yield to worship, I don't fight doubt. Matter of fact, the devil kind of goes silent in worship. I don't listen to music. Y'all know that, right? Hardly ever listen to music. There's a game called Encore. Anybody ever played that? You know what Encore is? You ever played that? They pull a word out, and you got to sing a song. Where's Brandon, Shane? How good am I at that game? Where's Brandon at? How good am I? Fantastic. Do you know what the problem is? They're all 90s country songs before I got saved. I started the sermon out with one. It's so bad that my sister-in-law looked at me and said, do you know any Christian songs, preacher? I had to purposely try. It made it not fun for me. I mean, it was like, they look at me and say, how many songs you got? I said, got five. Five songs right now in my head, ready. What I've done is I've turned Friday into worship service in my truck. I listen to music now on Fridays. Me and Ian started it. I just started doing it. No other day of the week. Friday's worship day in my truck, on my way to work, on my way home. And you know what's weird about it? Sometimes I feel really yucky. And man, the right song comes on. And there's just a feeling that changes everything. Next thing you know, I'm driving down the road going, worship will change you. Worship will change you. God knows that. When you enter into a covenant of worship, He knows how important it is. So we're going to worship one more time in this service. If you need prayer, don't worry about who's around you. If you're fighting any one of these things, God doesn't want you to fight them. That's truth. This is not your lot in life. This is not the way God designed it. God designed you for you to smile. Do it again just because it's awesome. God designed you to be in covenant, to have joy, to have peace, to have comfort, to have all those things. If you're fighting anxiety, let's get rid of it. You say, can that really happen? Yeah, that can really happen. That because God is jealous. God, that thing that you're fighting is an enemy of His as well. He doesn't want you to have it. So all you got to do is everybody else worship, just slip up here and we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you today. I don't want you to walk out of here with it again. The devil's convincing you that that's who you are. That's not who you are. Let's go, let's go. Let's stand, let's stand. If you will worship, if you need prayer, come and pray, come and pray. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Oh, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray.